Hello everyone, this is Coachella, a podcast where I talk about memorable quotes from movies, TV series, and other media. Some of these quotes may be ones you've heard before, and others may be new to you. Today we'll be covering quotes from the 2000 Adam Sandler film Little Nicky. Now to clarify, this movie was during Adam Sandler's high point when his films were good before they started getting bad in the mid-2000s. It's one of his typical comedy films where all his friends show up in it, and the humor is great overall during that time. The film is about the mild-mannered Nicky, who is the son of the devil himself, who has to stop his brothers from wreaking havoc on Earth. This episode is dedicated to my future brother-in-law, Joey, as we both think the movie is hilarious. A quick disclaimer, this episode has a ton of explicit content. The film is about the spawn of the devil, after all. And as usual, a spoiler warning is in effect for today, but if you're not concerned about that, please continue to listen. Our first quote today is from former Miami Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino. With his 10,000-year reign coming to an end, Satan, played by Harvey Keitel, must decide which of his three sons will succeed him as ruler over hell. Adrian, played by Rhys Ifans, is the most devious. Cassius, played by Tommy Lister Jr., is the cruelest. And Nicky, played by, of course, Adam Sandler, is the kindest. Adrian and Cassius torment Nicky regularly by controlling his body with their minds and making him hit himself in the testicles. Nicky also has a speech impediment and a disfigured jaw as a result of Cassius hitting him in the face with a shovel. Satan assembles his sons to tell them they were not yet ready to succeed him, so he will continue ruling hell. Afterwards, he tortures Adolf Hitler by shoving a pineapple up his anus, then meets with Dan Marino. Marino tries to strike a bargain with Satan to let him win at least one Super Bowl, like they apparently did for New York Jets quarterback Jonah Math. Satan declines because he's going to hell anyways, to which Marino angrily replies he'll just go to the Super Bowl as an announcer and win himself an Emmy.
I'm sorry. After careful consideration, I must respectfully decline.
I can't stand retirement. Come on, just let me win one Super Bowl.
In exchange for eternal damnation of your soul? You're much too nice a guy for me to want to do that to you, Mr. Marino.
You did it for Namath.
Yeah, but Joe was coming here anyways.
This sucks. I'll just go to the Super Bowl as an announcer, and I'll win myself an Emmy.
That's the spirit.
You're a good devil, Dad.
And I also happen to be a Jets fan.
Okay, so there are two things to take away from this quote. First off, it is hilarious because any football fans listening know that Marino has never won a Super Bowl. And he did, in fact, go on to being an announcer at one. The second is that there are people willing to do anything to win or achieve their goals at too high of a cost. Now, I haven't heard of anyone actually selling their soul to the devil to do this, but I know some people have sold their homes, their cars, or even their own self-worth to get what they want. In the end, I will say it's not worth going down that road, and to know what goals are actually worth it.
Knock, knock.
Yes, Jimmy.
Don't forget, you're shoving a pineapple up Hitler's ass at 4 p.m.
The next quote is from Nicky as he tries to adjust to living in the human world. Angered by their father's decision, Adrian and Cassius travel to Earth to create a new hell by possessing religious and political leaders in New York City. As they leave, they freeze the entrance to hell, preventing more evil souls from entering and causing Satan to begin to disintegrate. To stop them, he sends Nicky to Earth with a silver flask that traps whoever drinks from it inside. Nicky has difficulty surviving on Earth, and he is killed several times, landing in hell but returning each time to New York. He meets a possessed talking bulldog named Mr. Beefy, played by Robert Smigel, who teaches Nicky how to eat, sleep, and survive. He also rents an apartment for Nicky with an actor named Todd, played by one of Adam Sandler's friends, Alan Covert. Todd inquires why Nicky dresses so warmly when it's so hot outside, and asks if he's from the South, to which Nicky replies, yes, from the Deep South.
Aren't you boiling hot in that outfit?
No.
It's like 80 degrees in this hallway. Where are you from, the South?
Yes. The Deep South.
Why is that funny?
I don't know.
To be fair, this quote is actually pretty funny. The joke is obvious, but Nicky's awkwardness about it makes it even better. It also makes a fair point about people from the South, and no, not hell specifically. Anyone I've ever met from the South is not a fan of how cold it is up here in the northern states during the fall, winter, and spring. A lot of them dress super warmly during these times of the year, because they're used to how warm it is down south. One other little tidbit about the South is that, from my experience, they have much better fried chicken down there than we do up here.
Popeye's chicken is fucking awesome.
The following quote is from Nikki after he meets Valerie Varin, played by Patricia Arquette. The next day, Nikki and Mr. Beefy search for Cassius and Adrian across town. Nikki, thinking everybody is his brothers, constantly harasses random people to get in the flask before he passes out from exhaustion. While Nikki sleeps, a thief played by John Witherspoon steals the flask, but Nikki manages to track him down after he wakes up. A design student named Valerie helps him get it back, and the two start to hit it off. Nikki tells Val that he likes her glasses, and she tells him her dad is an optometrist, to which he replies that his dad is in hell and he's falling apart.
Your glasses are pretty. They make your eyes look big and sparkly. It's fun looking at them.
Oh, my dad's an optometrist.
My dad's in hell and he's falling apart.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's really tough when your folks get older.
I don't know what I would do if I couldn't save them.
Technically, Nikki isn't lying in this quote, and just reiterates how much of a black sheep he is in his family. Now, a lot of families have someone in them who is the black sheep and doesn't act the same as everyone else. This can be for a number of reasons, either intentional or not, but usually everybody usually knows who the black sheep is. Now, being a black sheep isn't a bad thing, though it can lead to some contention in the family, but I'd say if your family's full of bad people, for example, it's probably a good thing you are the black sheep. Just remember that it's okay to be different, as long as you're not trying to get random people inside a cursed flask.
Let's go.
Our fourth quote is from Nikki while he's trying to learn his evil powers. Nikki encounters Adrian while out walking with Valerie. He tries to get him to go back to hell, but Adrian mind controls him into insulting Valerie. This obviously upsets her, so she runs away, not understanding what just happened. Adrian then has Nikki killed again by having him walk out of the street to get run over. Nikki then returns to New York and observes Cassius on television possessing the referee of the Harlem Globetrotters game. Mr. Beefy claims the only way for him to capture his brothers is to control his evil power, so he has him practice on one of his roommate's Coca-Cola cans. Nikki tries to change the liquid inside to another one by releasing the evil within himself.
You just have to release the evil within.
Release the evil?
I'm just saying there's wickedness in you. I can tell from your snores.
Really?
Release the evil.
Though Nikki releasing his inner evil isn't the best example, it does show how people have hidden potential even they themselves aren't aware of. A lot of the time our hidden potential is exposed under duress. If we or someone we care about are in life-threatening situations, we can do extraordinary things like lift a car, run faster than normal, but maybe not turn a Coke into a Pepsi. You should always believe in yourself and strive to better yourself every day. This way you can discover the things about yourself that you may have never found out otherwise.
I've always dreamt about having sex with a gross pig. Can I wash my winky in your kitchen sinky?
You're a real jerk!
The next quote is from Nikki when he goes to reconcile with Valerie. Nikki arrives at the Globetrotters game and successfully tricks Cassius into the flask. Afterwards, the Satanist metalheads John and Peter, played by Adam Sandler's other friends, Jonathan Lugren and Peter Dante, swear loyalty to Nikki. They all go back to his apartment and get high for the rest of the day. That evening, while everyone else is passed out, Nikki goes to apologize to Valerie. He goes to her apartment window and reveals who he really is to her. He tells her his dad is the devil, but he loves him very much and wants to save his life by stopping his brothers.
Told you that my father was in hell?
Yes.
Well, that's because he's the devil, and he wants to keep his throne for another 10,000 years, and that pissed off my brothers. So they broke the gates of hell, which is making my father...
the devil?
...decompose. And I love my father very much, so I came to Earth to save him.
Now I get that deep South joke.
Yes!
Despite his methods, you gotta give Nikki respect for his loyalty. His love for his dad makes him do things he never would have under any other circumstances. Even though he's afraid of his brothers, he's willing to stand up against them in order to save his father. If you truly love someone, you have to be willing to make sacrifices. And I'm not saying you have to sacrifice everything, but as with this situation, if you love someone and they're in danger, you do everything you can to save them. Nikki may be a devil, but even he has someone he loves who he'd do anything for.
The Hell Beast! She is above us! And I can smell an evil slut! Oh, devil!
Our next quote is from Adrian after Nikki gets them both run over. The following day, Adrian possesses the chief of the NYPD, played by Michael McKean, and accuses Nikki of mass murder. Nikki has told Todd to kill him so he can go back to hell and ask his father for advice, but Satan has trouble hearing because his ears have fallen off when he returns there, and his assistants are panicking because the deadline to capture Adrian and Cassius is approaching. Back on Earth, Nikki and his friends devise a plan to capture Adrian in the subway station, but Adrian discovers their trick and in the ensuing fight grabs Valerie and dives onto a track as a train approaches, but Nikki throws her aside, leaving himself and Adrian to be killed by the train. Arriving in hell just minutes before midnight, Adrian begins to take over hell by pushing what remains of their father aside and sitting on the throne. Rising to Central Park and starting a riotous party, he reveals to everyone that hell is real and they are all going there when they die at midnight.
Definitely a hell.
What?
And you're all going to go there when you die, which is in about 15 minutes.
Holy shit, we really are gonna die!
This is a pretty ominous quote, as most people believe hell exists and that there's always a possibility we could end up there. Regardless of what religion you follow, a lot of them have their own version of hell, how you end up there, and what happens when you go there. I personally believe that hell does exist for people who commit evil acts throughout their lives. When you go there, you experience eternal suffering as punishment for what you've done during your life. I hope to never end up there, and I'm not perfect or anyone else is, but I'd like to believe that I haven't done something so terrible that would warrant me ending up in hell.
You make the Lord very nervous.
All right.
I'm burning now.
Take it easy.
Hellfire is burning me alive!
The seventh quote is from the angel Molly, Nikki's mom, played by Reese Witherspoon. Earlier, when the train crash sent Adrian to hell, it did not send Nikki there like it previously did. Nikki wakes up in heaven as a reward for sacrificing himself for the greater good. He meets his mother Holly, who was an angel who met Satan at the Heaven and Hell Mixer years prior. They ended up having Nikki together. And though Nikki is happy to see her, he agonizes over what Adrian is doing on Earth, feeling like there's nothing he can do to stop him. However, Molly tells him that he can defeat Adrian with this mysterious glowing orb she calls his inner light that he inherited from her.
How can I win? Adrian is stronger and smarter than me.
Stronger, yes. Smarter, definitely. But you have something that he doesn't have.
A speech impediment?
No. The inner light, honey. And you can totally use it. It's the best power of all.
I do.
And God told me if you get in really bad trouble, you can use this.
What is it?
Okay, I'm not totally 100% on that, but God said when the time came, you'd know what to do with it.
God's so smart, like Jeopardy smart.
The thing to take away from this quote is not that we all have a glowing orb we can use to solve our problems, but that we have the potential to be better than we think we can. Nikki clearly believes Adrian is better than him in every aspect, but that is mostly because he's been conditioned to think that due to the abuse he's dealt with. Having someone like his mother teach him his worth and learn to believe in himself is what helps him fight against his brother. It is always good to have someone in your life that sees your value when you can't see it yourself. Always believe in yourself and do not sleep on your hidden potential.
Now I'm asking you one last time. Get in the flash.
Our final quote today is from Rob Schneider, another one of Adam Sandler's friends that's in the movie, who plays a townie that witnesses Nikki's fight with Adrian at the end of the film. Nikki confronts Adrian in Central Park, where they fight using their powers and eventually a pillow fight. Adrian appears to win the battle by transforming into a bat and locking Nikki in the cursed flask. However, Nikki escapes from the flask and shatters the orb his mother gave him, causing Ozzy Osbourne to appear, who bites Adrian's head off and spits it into the flask. During the scene, the townie yells, "Dude, Ozzy, bite his freaking head off!"
What's that? What's with the ball?
Ozzy?
Holy shit.
No, 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 no!
You can do it, Ozzy! Bite his freaking head off!
I love this quote because for anyone who's a fan of Ozzy Osbourne like me, you'll know that he once actually bit a bat's head off in real life. I also like it because this is an Adam Sandler film, so Rob Schneider yelling at someone in the film is something that he does in all of those movies. Now with his brothers captured, Nikki and Valerie express their love for each other, and she kills him so he can be sent back to hell. This allows Satan to regain his body, and he suggests that Nikki stay with Valerie since he loves her. He expresses that he still loves Nikki's mom, Molly, and he regrets never making things work with her, so he recommends that he stay on Earth and have a family with her, which he does, thus ending the film.
You can do it, Nikki! Kick him in his hairy balls!
That's all for today, guys. If you liked today's episode, please leave a review on Podchaser, Apple Podcasts, or the Facebook page at Coachella Podcast 21. The cover art for today's episode is on sale in the store for the next few days for 30% off all of our products. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.